Morning, church. How you all doing? Yeah, it's a bit of a somber sort of a week, isn't it, for us and our church family, and our hearts are with the Martinga family. This morning, please remember to keep them in your prayers. I kind of deliberated on how to sort of bring the message this morning, and I just wanted to really be sensitive to the situation and to the Martinga family. And we had planned to present a Bay City Care kind of focus this morning, and I thought, oh gosh, do we do that? What do we do? And you know what? Bay City Care is something that the Martinga family are very passionate about. It's something that, you know, as we know, Hannah runs the food care and has done for several years, and it's something she's very passionate about. And, you know, and Sam was always right there with her in that. And so that is their heart. That is, you know, something that we actually want to honour them with this morning. It's just a bit of a focus on you know, what care is about and what they have and continue to put their hands and their hearts to in and through our church. Is that okay? So I'm just going to pray. If you can pray with me, that would be awesome. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise, Lord. We just acknowledge you, Father, for who you are. And Lord, just the beautiful words that we sung this morning just said so much about who you are and what you mean to us, and that, you know, You're just everything to us, and Lord, we just commit this time to you. We ask, Father God, that in this time where there are heavy hearts in the congregation this morning, and we are feeling feeling that, but we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come and just bring peace, bring strength, bring courage and comfort, and Lord, just a sense of hope of what you are doing in and through this church, through this family and the families represented here, and all that we do in our community, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm actually just going to start by inviting Raylene Bevan to come up. Let's welcome Raylene. And Raylene, as most of you know, is also a very big part of Bay City Care and what we do in the life of this church through the care arm. And she's just going to share, I've asked her to come up and share a little bit about some of what we do.
Hi guys. I guess we all know that at the support centre we do counselling and we do case management, but I just wanted to talk about how Bay City Care works all together. So we have clients that come to us in food care, and Hannah and Lou might then send them on to me to I can help them out with some bills, etc. Or someone might have some counselling with Mona and share with her that they're struggling to pay their rent. So she might then send them down to the girls at food care for some help with some food that can then alleviate the burden of, they can save the money on food, they can put towards their rent. Or they might get sent to me, and I can help them just communicate with other agencies, etc., on their behalf, and try and get some help financially, etc. So I've just got three stories of three beautiful women today. Some are longer than others, and sometimes we just meet people just for that one time and we might not see them again, but other times we journey with someone for a long time. And I mean, we've had people that now are volunteers in food care because of meeting us journeying with them, and then they've come to help us there. So the first one is a lady had some counselling with Mona, and she shared that she was well behind in her rent. She couldn't afford her rent. She had two children, one disabled son, and she was just so far behind. There was no way that this woman could ever get back on track. She was thousands of dollars behind. And so she was referred to me, and I met with her. When I met with her the first time, she'd been given a rental tribunal hearing date. It was the next Monday. It was like 2 days later. And of course she was scared and she didn't know what was to expect and what to do. So I was able to go to that hearing with her and just for support, I guess. I didn't know what I was doing either, I have to admit. Been to a couple of those now. But yeah, so we were able to then, you know, talk with the real estate and come up with a plan for her to get back on track. In the meantime, Mona had spoken with New South Wales Housing and put forward her case, and we were able to help her get, so it's like private rental subsidy. But what was amazing was they backdated it so far that this big lump sum came in, and it was able to, all those thousands of dollars that she owed, it just came at the right time, and that was able to be paid, and she's back on track. It's just amazing, really. So now after that, we received an email. So I've got a couple of emails to share with you today. And it reads, "Dear Mona and the staff at Bay City Care, I just wanted to thank all of those at Bay City Care for supporting one of our mutual clients with counselling and advocacy to Housing New South Wales. It is great to see her perseverance as well as your support pay off and see her finally get the private rental subsidy. Thank you for continuing to support her as well. It is great to have services like Bay City Care to work alongside of." And that was from Wesley Mission. So that's just one of our beautiful ladies. And like I said, I still meet with her and just chat, see how she's going. Everything's going really well, which is nice. Now, we have got a little picture that we're going to pop up. So, like I said, sometimes we just meet someone for just one time. And this lady came in to see Mona for some help with her electricity and gas bill. And after that, Mona was able to refer her to come down and see the girls from Food Care, which she was able to sit down and have a cuppa with Hannah. And I never met this lady personally, but she popped into the support centre when I was there. And she dropped this into us and a little card, and it just says, "To Mona and the Bay City Care team, I just wanted to thank you for your help. I came in about a week ago needing help with my electricity, and you went above and beyond to help me. I may not be able to pay you back with money, so I just wanted to show my appreciation by drawing you guys a picture. I hope you like it." And that's it. And it's funny because it's not the first time that we've been called the Bay City Angels. I've got clients who come, you know, I've helped a couple of ladies and they'll be like, "Oh, you're my angel." So, yeah, I don't know. Charlie's angels, look out. Now, the last story was this email actually found its way to Pastor Andrew. And he then handed it over to me, and it's really sad. At the beginning, and hopefully by the end things may change, but I'll just some of it I won't read out because it's just you don't need to know everything, but I'll read you part of this email that landed on my desk. "Hi, my name is. I just spoke to Anglicare, who referred me on to you. I have just recently left a 10-year marriage of domestic violence and sexual abuse. I'm in a lot of debt, I'm lonely, and I'm scared. I have no money for travel or my phone or food, and it's been a few days without any food now. I have no family here. I literally have no one to talk to or turn to, and life feels really heavy. Rent was due again today, and I have no idea how I'll find it. I'm worried about how the landlord will react, as I'm now 3 weeks in arrears, and soon I'll have my last warning and maybe eviction. Everything has become seemingly worse after leaving my abusive husband. I don't know which way to turn, or if you do offer any help, but this email is my desperate plea for any advice. I'm tired of fighting for basic needs every day. I'd be so grateful for your guidance. Yours sincerely." So, I think I received that email. It was well and truly time I'd finished work, that's for sure. And I was like, oh my gosh, this lady she needs someone right now. There was a phone number on there. I did ring, but she didn't pick up. So I emailed her back straight away. Obviously, the first thing that I noticed in that is she hasn't eaten. She needs food. So I just emailed her back instantly and said, okay, this is the food care. These are the times. Go down, see the girls there, and, you know, we can get to the other stuff. So as she did, I called Hannah, told her the situation. That lady did come down that very night, and she has been coming pretty much for a few weeks straight. Anyway, so like she said in the email, she doesn't have family, she doesn't have anyone. So I just said to her, look, you know what time the girls are at food care, go anytime. They can at least have a sit down, have a chat with you. You've got someone to talk to. In the meantime, I got to work with other agencies trying to find some money to help pay that rent. Obviously, by that email, we could see she needed someone to talk to. Mia was given her phone number so that she could arrange to have some counselling. Now, this lady, she didn't answer the phone, and I kept thinking, why is she not answering the phone? Like, we're trying to help her, but it's really hard because we can't communicate with her. When I finally did get her, she's so scared and so weary to pick up the phone from a number that she doesn't know. It could be someone asking, like, debt. You know, she owes money. She's too scared to answer the phone. So, anyway, we worked through that, and she now can... I gave her, told her some numbers to look out for, etc. But, yeah, so that's where we were at. And so I'm just going to read you another bit of another email that she sent. Hi, Raylene. Thank you so much for getting back to me. I did go to your community food care and Hannah helped me. Thank you so much. It's been so long to meet kind people again. Felt so good to eat yesterday. It's amazing how quickly you go under like this. It's scary and lonely starting again. I feel lost every day and I'm not sure which organisation can help. I've just been given a lot of numbers by the police, and so far, you guys have been the only one that have been able to help. Thank God because I've almost given up some days. This week I owe 4 weeks' rent and I have debts, but this is my priority even before food most days. My landlord is losing patience, but I don't know what else to tell him, so I hardly go back to the shelter. It's difficult. I left with only my passport, not even a bag of clothes, so each week it's impossible to sort everything out. So that's where this lady is. She's here from another country. She knows nobody. And she's got this. She's paying for this one room in a shared house. So anyway, that's just some of the things that we deal with. So she's continuing to meet the girls at food care. I'm glad to say that we were able to, like I said, with the help of St. George Youth Services, actually, we were able to get those 4 weeks' rent paid. And so now we're working with her, you know, just on her financial counselling as well as emotional counselling. And so that's where we're up to. So thank you.
Might need those. Thanks, Ray. That's awesome. And yeah, so we do. We want to honour everyone that's involved in our care, and particularly the Martinga family. But I just want to thank everyone that's involved in care, because as you can see, it's a combination of things that that come together through what we do, and that is that, you know, what we do at the centre and all the way through to food care. So those of you that are here that have been part of that, I just really want to thank you. You know, people like Hannah, like Louise, and who else have we got? Juanita. Yeah, I'm going to get to Joanne. I've actually got something special to say about Joanne, so don't rush me, please. So just everybody, if you're here and I haven't mentioned you, thank you so much for what you do. And, you know, we this is all about being part of a family and about being the army of God, and one person can't do it together. But Joe, I just want to thank you. I just, you know, Joe, I don't know, you probably all know, but Joe has contributed so much to Bay City Care. And you know, at one point she kind of needed her own PA. I think Pastor Andrew was her PA at one point, because she was having so many people were calling asking for Joe. And you know, and she not only helped them practically, but also you know, prayed with them and encouraged them and spoke hope into their lives, and just really believed for God to turn things around in their lives. So, you know, if this is something that is close to your heart, I want to just encourage you to, you know, come and check it out. It's something that is really worthwhile being involved in, and you know, we get to see the hand of God at work. Amen. And oh, and Tina as well, hiding in the back there. Thank you, Tina. There's probably other people, but anyway. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. So part of what we do, yes, is to help people practically. But as you heard from what Ray said, people are being encouraged in that. You know, quite often people don't get to experience any sense of care out in the world. You know, that sense of someone actually truly caring, not just doing something because that's what they're obligated to do. Because there is a difference, you know. There's a difference between doing something, you know, and this is not to put anyone down. I mean, there's great organisations out there that do amazing things. But let me just say that in terms of this type of work, it has always and always will be spearheaded by the church. So many organisations started out as benevolent charity organisations that were founded in churches. And why is that? It's because that's the heart of God. That is the heart of God. And we have a responsibility, you know, to make sure that God's heart is extended, and his hands and his feet are extended into the world. Amen. That's what we're called to do. And, you know, we know that we're created to have relationship with God. Does everyone know that? Like we have this innate kind of need to be in relationship with God. We were never created to live apart from Him, and so part of what we do is reaching out to those who have been disconnected or who are disconnected from God, because we know that those that are disconnected from God, they lack. And we may be reaching out to people that are lacking practically, but we also know that they're lacking spiritually, and they need to hear about the good news, amen, the hope of God, and you know, what it is they need to actually fulfill that sense of longing in their lives and in their, you know, that thing that's missing in their lives. So we're all born to have a relationship with God. Life doesn't make sense without Him. I don't know about you guys, but I just don't see how it could. If we're created and we're born to actually have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him, it just doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. I don't know about you, but I sometimes stop and I think, wow, this world is just nuts. It's crazy. What the heck is this? You know, we get up every morning and we're like, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, that's right. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? Do any of you ever kind of ask those questions, or is it just me? I know, I you know, and if it wasn't for my knowledge of God and my relationship with Him, I would not have the first clue about why I get up in the morning, or what life is even about. And so, for us who are saved, we understand that, right? We understand that we've received salvation and the hope of eternity and the meaning of life. But yet there are so many that just don't, they don't have that. They don't understand what life's about. They don't understand why they're here. And so they don't have that sense of hope and meaning for what life is all about. And so you can imagine people that are out there, not only have they not got that hope, but they're dealing with just lacking in the basic essentials. Sorry, that's my phone. That should be on silent. And so we know that for life, for us, it's all about Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So when we become separated from God, we actually become sick. The very thing that represents life, purpose and meaning, is missing. It's just not there. And it leaves a great big gaping hole in our hearts, which was meant for him. We don't function like we were meant to, and often spend our lives trying to fill that hole. I love how St. Augustine put it. Is it Augustine? Augustine. Our hearts, he put it like this, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, Lord. Just so, it's just such a plain thing, but it means so much. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. So we do not have rest until we find rest in him. So people are restless and lost without direction or purpose. And that's why we believe it is our mandate to do the work that we do in our communities. It's just as important as what we do in the church. What we do outside of the church is just as important. So God calls us to be his hands and his feet on this earth, to lead people to his truth. You know, we know that there are lots of people that believe in some truths. And they believe that is also a way to God. But we know that there is only one truth, and that's the truth. Amen. And once we come to know the truth, we become free and our souls find rest in him. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So without truth, people either struggle alone or are deceived into believing a counterfeit truth. And many live in despair and hopelessness. Jesus' life on earth was totally devoted to bringing the good news, teaching people about the truth, how they should live, and setting them free. Jesus is all about setting people free. You know, right from the start of the Bible we read all the way through, Jesus is continually setting his people free from bondage. In Luke 4, verse 18, there it is. We all know this scripture, right? It's my favorite scripture. Actually, I have lots of favorites. I call them all my favorite, but this is kind of my favorite. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. So who are these prisoners, the oppressed and the poor? Who are they? How do we find them? Psalm 82:3 says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hands of the wicked. So who are they? the fatherless, the poor, the oppressed, the needy. And goes on to say that we're to deliver them from the hands of the wicked. So there's the spiritual aspect of what we do practically. Yeah? Is not only do people need practical support and emotional support, but they need to be set free from the wicked, from the hands of the enemy, the spirit of this world that leaves them with a sense of hopelessness. I've confused myself with my notes. So what does it mean to be separated from God? Well, we all have, as I mentioned before, an innate need for God. Yeah? And we also have, so as we have spiritual needs and we also have natural human needs. Who knows we have natural human needs? Sometimes as Christians we kind of focus on the spiritual, but we forget that we are still humans, and that we do have needs. As human beings, we do have needs. And just as there are spiritual battles, there's also human battles. That might be a bit controversial, but there is. So what happens is, we have that innate need, but then there's a violation that comes, or like a deficit, and that can come through sin, it can come physically or emotionally, and it can be quite legitimate and causes a suffering, and we become separated from God. There's other ways of being separated from God as well. So then what have we got? And this is, I guess what I'm doing here is just highlighting a little bit of what it's like for people that do not have hope in God and have been separated from Him. And these are the people that we meet, you know, during the week through our care. So so there's pain, there's a separation from God, and there's pain. But there's no answer to the separation and there's no answer to the pain. And so what people will try and then do is try and avoid the pain. Because it's too hard and there's no way out. And they don't have the energy or the strength within themselves to deal with it. So they try and avoid it. They try and kind of find other ways to not have to go through that pain. Sometimes that can be like a neurosis, like depression, anxiety. Which is kind of like an illegitimate suffering. You're with me? And so then those kind of neurotic experiences, or neurosis, I should say, can we erase that? Yeah, I know. Rachel, you get it from me. She said the funniest thing the other day. I won't repeat it, but it was kind of a combination of two words and put them together and they didn't go quite very well. Anyhow. So what we do is we find ways to kind of alleviate, you know, and this is where we go looking for counterfeit experiences, ways of filling that big hole, that gaping hole where God is meant to be. We try and fill it. We try and find ways of getting some relief from that. And so we end up in bondage. And when we're in bondage, we have no rest, right? There's no rest in bondage. There's restlessness. There's all sorts of nasty things. So that's kind of the pattern out there pretty much. And that can look like a lots of an array of different ways. But ultimately, we know that without that presence of God in our lives, without relationship with Him, without the knowledge of Him, without meaning and hope that we have in Him and for eternity, which is what makes life what it is for us, right? So can you imagine? Now, how do you manage? How do you get through? How do you deal with that? And so this is what people are out there are trying to deal with. So they're restless, they're lost, and trying to numb the pain and fill the void. And that's because they have this innate need and for God and to be in relationship with Him. So everything that lives relies on something, yeah? Everything relies on something for its existence. And it's no different for human beings. And it's encoded in our DNA, in fact. So DNA is like the blueprint of who we are. And we're made in God's image, yeah? And so our DNA is made in Him. So our needs according to how God created us is to live in fellowship with Him, and which is essential for our existence. So I guess I'm trying to really bring home the fact that we need God. True? So let's look at Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus came into the world for one reason, to make it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins and to go to heaven when we die. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So who are the lost? And why are they lost? What makes somebody lost? It's because they've been separated from God, amen? So it's like, you know, if ever you kind of lose one of your kids, I don't know if anyone's ever done that. I've done that several times. And it was usually, Rachel's smiling at me, it was usually our youngest, wasn't it, Dave? Timmy? He used to like going walkabouts, and he would go walkabouts and we would leave without him. And then we'd realise, oh, where's Timmy? She does that too. Yeah. So it's kind of like a member of the family is lost, and what happens? We go into this major panic. Oh, where is he? I left him once. I was up in Coffs Harbour with some friends, and we all had kids, and we jumped into, at the time we were driving this van, Tarago van, and everyone piled into this van and off we go. And I get onto the other side of town, and there's kids all in the back seat, you know, jumping up and down and carrying on, and I'm looking and I'm started counting heads, and I'm like, there's one missing. One of them's missing. Timmy. So I'm on the other side of town of Coffs. If anyone knows Coffs, there's town and then there's the other side, and it's if you're from Coffs Harbour, that's a long, long way away. So I turned around, came back, and we found him in KFC, and he's walked in there and he said, "I've been left behind." And so they set him down and they gave him a feast, and he was hoeing into all this food, and it was awesome. But, you know, we found him, and that was awesome, and we were so excited, and, oh, thank goodness he's okay. He didn't get, you know, kidnapped or... and so it's kind of like that, you know. When people are lost, the ones that Jesus came to seek... It's kind of like that. They're lost from the family. A family member is gone missing, lost or left behind. And so they're the ones that are separated from God, amen, and separated from the family of God. But to us who are saved, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." So for all of us here, we know the truth, right? And we once were lost, but now we are found. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, just the Amplified Bible. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have abundance for every good work and act of charity." So what's that saying? It's saying we've got the anointing, we know the truth, and we have everything we need and in abundance for every good work and act of charity. So there's no reason for us to not be extending ourselves, coming out of that anointing, what God has placed in our lives, and the knowledge of the truth. Amen? So we are His hands and His feet. That's kind of how it works. He's given us a huge job and a responsibility. And I love that Bay City, the heart of Bay City is about that responsibility. And it's something that many, many people that have been drawn to Bay City have had a like-mindedness about and a heart for and a passion for. Just as we have come to know the importance of having relationship with Him and what it means that it brings life, it brings meaning, it brings purpose, it brings hope. Amen? So we also need to go and we need to be the messengers for God, be His hands and His feet about that good news. I don't know about you guys, I think that's an exciting thing. That's the work of Jesus. That's what He did. That's what He wants us to do. So I was kind of searching around for the word charity and what that represents. And this is something I've come across. So charity is held to be the ultimate perfection of the human spirit. Let me just say, sometimes people think of charity and they think, oh, you're just, you know, giving them a handout. You're just giving them a handout. But everything we've seen today, is that all about a handout? What do you reckon, church? Is it a handout? Is it just a, here you go, bye, good luck? Is that what it's about? I don't think so. I think what we're about is about, as I said, extending, you know, the heart of God and being His hands and His feet and bringing the good news. Yeah? You've gone all quiet on me. So charity is held to be the ultimate perfection of the human spirit because it is said to both glorify and reflect the nature of God. Confusion can arise from the multiple meanings of the English word love as other theological virtues. Charity is divinely infused into the soul. It resides in the will. And according to Thomas Aquinas, charity is an absolute requirement for happiness, which he holds as man's last goal. Good on you, Thomas. I'm with Thomas. Anyone else with Thomas? I am. So next time we think about charity, just remember that It's held to be the ultimate perfection of the human spirit. What does that mean? The ultimate perfection. We know that the ultimate perfection is Jesus, right? And we all strive to become more like him. That's our ultimate perfection. And that is charity and love, representing who he is. Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Who here believes that the Spirit of the Lord is on them and that and has anointed them to proclaim the good news? Yeah, awesome. There should be more hands up. Every hand should be up, in fact. Do you know that we've all been anointed, just as Jesus was anointed? He's passed that on to us to proclaim the good news. To bring it to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. And so Bay City Care and what we do through our charity arm is so much more than a handout. Our heart and our prayer is that people that come, that we meet on a day-to-day basis, not only encounter practical needs, not only encounter beautiful people, but that they would also encounter Jesus, the ultimate perfection. That's our heart. And, you know, sometimes they don't always hang around, but sometimes they do. But that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, guess who they've encountered? They've encountered God, the living God, and they will never forget that. Whether they stay or they go, they will never forget that. It's something that stays. And we know that, you know, some of us plant the seed, some of us water, and some of us harvest. And whether they're harvested now or harvested somewhere else later on, we're believing that they will be part of the harvest. Amen. And, you know, as Raylene said, we've had people that have come back and said, hey, I really appreciate, I'm just so amazed at the love in this place and the way that you love on people. What can I do to be part of that? And they come back and they want to volunteer, which is awesome. Hey, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. Just want to give an opportunity for anyone here who doesn't have a relationship with God, who or who once did and has been away from God, just to reconcile that relationship, either to come to him for the first time or to come back to him. And so I'm just going to ask everyone just to close their eyes, please, this morning. If you're here this morning and you would like to acknowledge that your need for God, if you would like to acknowledge that you can't live without what he brings in meaning and in hope and making sense of life, I want to ask you just to raise your hand this morning, just very quickly. Not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that, but if you're here and you want to reconcile that relationship and put things in place the way they should be, or you want to come back and rededicate, I want to ask you to raise your hand this morning. Jesus just loves us, and he longs for nothing more than to be in relationship with us. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask you all to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today. I acknowledge my need for you and that life makes no sense without you. Come into my heart. I repent of my sin and trying to do life without you. I ask you to come and be my Savior. Amen. Just eyes closed, please. Anyone pray that prayer for the first time? Or is a rededication this morning? Great.